Or sometimes people will even say, I like to think of God being, you know, all loving, all nice, or I like to think of God this way or that way, or my God is this or my God is that. And the bottom line in all of it is that what we think about God or what we would like to think about God does not matter at all. Because all that matters is who He really is. And when it comes to us as a church, and thinking about what makes a church be what it should be a healthy church, it's important that we truly and absolutely understand who God is, that we truly and absolutely understand about His truth, and that that is what shapes us. And so in that regard, we could say that a healthy church is characterized by having a biblical theology. Now, a lot of people roll their eyes at the word theology, and it seems like this, you know, pointless kind of discussions and debates that people have about things, and a lot of times I understand that because it gets to that point. But really what we're talking about when we're talking about having a biblical theology is we're talking about understanding how we're supposed to think about things. And seeing everything else in this world in light of who God is and in light of His truth that He has revealed to us in His Word. Sometimes this is called having a biblical worldview, the lens through which we see everything that happens in us and around us. And this is such an important issue because everything that we believe, everything that takes root in our minds is going to eventually come out in our lives. And so again, if we are going to be the church that God wants us to be, we must think rightly. We must think biblically. And as we look at Romans 12:2 today, I think it gives us an understanding of the importance and how we can have biblically shaped thinking in our lives. Look at what the verse says. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." As we consider the importance of having this biblically shaped thinking tonight, let's pray. Lord, again, I thank You for another opportunity to come and to gather and to worship and, Lord, to get around Your Word and consider this important idea of us thinking biblically. And Lord, as we consider Your Word tonight, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to truly let it sink in, Lord, truly take heart in our lives. And Lord, that You would accomplish what You desire in us so that You would be able to accomplish what You desire through us. Lord, that we could be a church that truly would bring You glory all the more through the understanding You give us from Your Word here tonight. And I pray, God, that You would bless us in that regard. And again, use us for Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this verse, understanding the importance of biblical thinking, first we see from verse 2 here is that we cannot conform to this world. That's the first command here. Do not be conformed to this world. You see, the world has its way of thinking. The world has its way of doing things. The world has its own idea of normal and acceptable and what everyone should be doing. And so what we've got to understand as well as biblically speaking is that Satan is the one who sits at the head of that worldly system. You look at Ephesians 2:2, he's called the prince of the power of the air. So Satan, through this world system, is working, he's attacking, he's deceiving, he's doing everything he can to try to conform everyone in this world into his way of thinking and therefore his way of living, which is an absolute rebellion against God. And when it says, do not be conformed here, it's important that we understand that that's a passive verb there, a passive command. It's not that you are actively going out and trying to conform yourself. That's not what this is addressing here. What it's saying is, don't let the world conform you. Not that you're the one doing it, but there is a world, there is a system out there that is trying to conform you and is telling you not to let that happen. And think about how that happens. When I think about how this happens, what I always think about is Jell-O. Because if you buy Jell-O, you get a box and it's full of powder. But you've probably been to enough, you know, covered dish dinners and all that kind of thing to see that people can make Jell-O look like some pretty crazy stuff. And how does that happen? How does it go from powder to just this crazy looking thing? Well, what you do is you take a mold. You put the water in it and you give it some time. Long story short, generally speaking, if you give it the time and the right conditions, it's going to form into that mold. And what we've got to understand is that that is exactly what Satan, through this world system, is trying to do to every single one of us. That Satan is trying to take us all and to fit us into that mold. Trying to conform us to be exactly what he wants us to be. And if we give him the time and the conditions necessary, that's exactly what's going to happen in all of our thinking. And a lot of times we say, I don't want that. Well, good, you shouldn't want it. If you'll say, well, I'm not trying to be that way. Well, good, I know you're not trying to be that way. But unless you're doing something to make sure that you're not going to be that way, it is going to happen because it is all around us, attacking our mind, attacking our lives, trying to conform us to this worldly system. And what we've got to understand is that there is no middle ground whatsoever. Every thought, every action, everything that exists, everything that is out there in this world is either of God or it is of Satan and his worldly system. And so we look out in this world and there's so many things out there. Through people, through entertainment, all kinds of media that are all a part of this world. And therefore, they're exactly what is used by Satan to try to pull us away from the truth so that we will start to conform to this world. And if you look at some of the big things and the big ways that come today is that they try to attack the very nature of God himself. To say that God is not really the creator. Maybe God had something to do with it, but really it was this natural process bring everything about. And as a result, man is really the epitome of everything because everything was moving towards man being at the top of the food chain, the top of everything else. And so if God's not really my creator, or if maybe he only just played this little small part in it, then he's not that much better than me and I don't have to worry about answering to him and I can go do what I want to do because I make the rules. Because I can make the rules, if I do think there is this God, I get to decide what I think he's like. And so I'm not going to say that God is a holy God who can't tolerate sin and must judge it. I'm going to say he's nice. He would never send anyone to hell. He would never judge me. And so I can do what I want and I'm okay. Because he's not perfect and because he's not really the one who created and set everything up, I don't really need to worry a whole lot about what his word says. Because if he's not perfect, then his word isn't either. And let's face it, he just used a bunch of sinful people like you and me to write it, and they had their own biases and prejudices. And so maybe some of the things we see in the Bible are helpful, but as a whole, we don't really have to worry about it. And again, I can make my own rules. And I can put a stamp on even that and call it Christianity. And what we don't realize is in that case, what has happened is that we have created and therefore worship a false god. And we're in idolatry. And when we take away these attributes of who God is and it has its implications in our life, the world has us. We're conforming. We're thinking like the world, and therefore we are going to live like the world, and we certainly aren't going to be those that God has set apart and called to himself away from this world to use for his purposes and his glory. You got to see that if you're just coasting through this life unaware of anything that's going on around you and you think everything's just fine and you're just absorbing everything that comes in, you are setting into that mold that the world has for you. And the truth is, you're not going to stay where you are. You're either going to be growing in your biblical thinking, or you're going to be conforming to this world. And so our responsibility that falls on us is to make sure that we stop the conformity that happens. And it's a sad, sad pattern that you can trace even in recent days, recent history of the main cultural issues that we deal with. You look at things like the homosexual agenda. You look at things like the death culture that exists in our country today. And with each of these, you can look and you can see that kind of stuff was happening in Europe. And it was just sort of this weird thing that was out there. Sometimes goes by and it crosses the pond, and it's happening up in Canada, hitting a little bit closer to home, and then it drifts down into the United States. And the culture buys in. And the culture accepts the arguments in support of these things that contradict God's truth. But then every time it happens, churches will start to fall like dominoes and accept what the culture says is okay. And this is exactly what this verse is telling us that we cannot let happen in our lives and therefore in the church as a whole. And so, if it's going to stop, it's got to stop with you and with me and with everyone who is truly following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's steps that we need to take to make sure that it doesn't happen. And really the answer is pretty clear. I mean, what does Jesus say do if something's causing you to stumble? Matthew 18:9. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. Pretty easy to understand there. If there's something in your life that is causing you to think worldly, is causing you to conform, you have to get rid of it. And so if we're truly serious about this, and we truly want to think biblically, we truly want to think in line with God's truth, we're going to have to take some steps that nobody else would. We're going to have to cut some things out of our life that everyone else thinks is just normal. And we're going to have to do some things in our life that everyone thinks is really weird. But that's where we're at, and that's where we're going to have to be if we truly are going to save ourselves from being conformed to this world. And one of the great dangers that comes is good intentions. And you hear people say things like, well, maybe if we just sort of back away from these ideas and we don't take such a hard line on this thing being a sin, then maybe people will feel more comfortable, and then they'll come in and then they'll hear the gospel. Maybe we can back away a little bit from the idea that of saying that Jesus is the only way and you have to be a Christian to be saved. And again, we'll be more welcoming, more people will come in, and then they'll hear the gospel. But the truth is, if you are going to put the idea out there that doesn't call sin sin and says that maybe there's another way other than Jesus to be saved, you've already lost the gospel. And you have nothing to say to anyone that's going to help them. And so, again, we got to come back to the idea that understand that there is a satanic, there is a worldly system, and it is real, and it is active, and without a conscious effort on our part, we are going to end up conforming to this world. And so, again, you come back to even the very definition of what a church is. It's those who have been called out. That's the root of what the word means. You've been called out. That means we can't be a part of what God has called us out from. We cannot conform to this world. We cannot think like this world. This conformity is not an option for us. And instead of being conformed, we are called here to be transformed. And really, When you look at what this word transform means, or what the original word is, it's the word that we get metamorphosis from. Like when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. So what this is calling us to have is a metamorphosis of our lives, of our minds, of our thinking, of everything that comes in our lives. And so it says you got to have a complete change of form in your mind, and that's not a subtle thing. You know, when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly, it's pretty noticeable. And the result being one thing really doesn't even look anything like the other. It's a change so vast that it becomes unrecognizable. And so while everything else and everyone else around us is getting pushed into this mold, we're called to be transformed, to be set apart from all that, to be different from everything else that is going on. And we have to be ready for that. And the truth is, sometimes we're just too wrapped up and too concerned about what's going on in this world to really have this happening in our lives. And we just maybe even get scared. But again, we got to come back and remember that everything that's going on in this world, it fits in the world system, or it fits in God's system. And the only way that we're not going to conform is to make sure that we are being transformed. And how's that going to happen? Well, we can't do it. We can't do it by ourselves. We need God to do it for us. We can't fight everything that's happening in this world. We need God to work in our lives in this way. Titus 3:5 talks about how we have been renewed by the Spirit of God in terms of our salvation. So we couldn't save ourselves, and we can't transform ourselves either. God is the one who must do it. And it's the same thing as before, where it's a passive thing. We don't transform ourselves, but we do need to make sure that we put ourselves in position so that God will work in our lives, so that we will be transformed. We need to give God the time and the right conditions so that He will be able to work in us and then work through us. And it really all comes back to directing our attention and our focus to God. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So we take part of things that direct our attention and our affection so much to God, to begin to understand more and more of who He is, to worship Him every moment of every day, so much so that we cannot help but be changed. Because we're beholding and understanding and growing in that understanding of the glory of God. And it takes the means of grace in our lives to make sure that we're doing this. It comes back to making sure that we are spending time in God's Word, that we are spending time in fellowship with other Christians, that we are worshiping God, not just here on Sundays, but in our hearts all throughout the week. And as we consistently are drawn up in understanding and taking in God and all that He is, it will change us and we will live it. And we come again, always understanding and looking in God's Word, seeing who He is, more of who He is, growing in that understanding. And so that we come back to some of those major issues that the world attacks the character of God on. And we look in God's Word and we say, hey, God really is our all-powerful Creator who spoke this world into existence and made everything in 6 days. Because He's our Creator, we're made to worship Him. We're going to answer to Him. And then we understand that, hey, He is a holy God. And so my only hope is to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know I've sinned against Him and I've fallen short of that standard. And I deserve His wrath. And to understand, hey, God is our Creator. So God knows better than anyone how everything is supposed to work. God is holy. And so I can trust that His Word is holy as well. And so I come back to His Word, understanding that it is the authority for my life. It's perfect because He is. And then the Word of God becomes that filter that we need for our life as we take in everything that's happening around us. That everything would come through the filter of God's Word, so that everything that's junk, everything that's worldly, gets pushed aside. And only what comes from Him is brought in. And if we truly do have that biblical thinking, if we truly have been transformed, it's going to show up in several ways. It's going to show up by the absence of worldly thinking. And so when you flip on the news and you hear somebody talking, or you read something, or you see something on TV, and they put forth an idea, you understand where it's at. Because you, through the Word of God, will recognize truth from error. And instead of receiving it, we reject it and even are appalled by worldly thinking. And that's not always an easy thing to do, because sometimes it can sound really nice. You know, if somebody says something like, well, I just think God would not send anyone to hell and everyone's going to go to heaven. You can see why somebody might want to believe that. That would sound nice if that were true. But we're not doing anyone any favors, including ourselves, if we buy into these lies. So as we, again, we transform in our mind, that kind of worldly thinking is gone, and then we will recognize it for what it is. Everything that comes our way, we'll easily be able to separate it from truth, from error. It's going to show up in our lives by growing in our understanding of who God is, growing in our understanding of His Word day in and day out, and then standing on the truth of God's Word, even defending it at all costs, standing on the truth and the authority of the Word of God. And so then a church who's standing on the truth of God's Word and is growing in that understanding and knows that truth is poised to be everything that God designed it to be. And that's true, because as we continue through this verse, we see what the result is of being transformed. And it says, so that you will prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, how many times have you wanted to know, have you talked to people who wanted to know what the will of God is? And this makes it pretty clear right here. If you get away from the worldly thinking, if you're not conforming, and if God is absolutely transforming you, you're going to know what the will of God for your life is. But it's then and only then. Because if you're conforming to this world, you're not going to know the will of God. You're dabbling in worldly things, you're not going to know it, because at best what's happening is that the waters are getting all muddied up. Because what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect does not exist in this world. That is only God's territory, and it can only be discovered when our minds have been renewed. And too often we face decisions in our life, some very important things, some very weighty things that are coming in our life, and we don't have any foundation to make those decisions, because we haven't been transformed through the renewing of our mind. We haven't been standing on the Word of God. And one thing we got to understand is this. Every decision we make in our life is theological. We can't just separate that for the so-called theologians. We're all theologians. Because everything that we think about, everything that we say, everything that we do reveals what we believe about God, what we believe about His Word. It all reflects on Him. And in every situation we face, there's a right way to see it, and there's a whole lot of wrong ways to see it. If you conform, you're going to be off base. And therefore, in reality, not even be a church at all. Or we can be renewed, we can be transformed, and then we will be lining up with God's design for us. And these decisions that we're making are terribly important. And they all have a great number of consequences attached to them. And obviously, again, these are important, but a lot of times we seriously overcomplicate them. Because it comes back down to really a very simple thing, a very simple principle, that every decision we make is either worldly or it is in the will of God, therefore good and acceptable and perfect. And we've got to frame everything that we're faced with within that context. And again, there's no middle here. And God does not mean for His will to be confusing or jumbled up. But God's will is clear, and God's will is different from everything else that is going on around us. So not to make light of anything we deal with, but in reality, understanding the weight of what we deal with, understanding all those things that are happening in the world that we have such a hard time making sense of, we can have that confidence that as we continue to grow in our understanding of who God is, and we continue to grow in our understanding of our word, of His Word, and He is continuing to transform us in it, that God has given us what we need, and we can press forward from there in confidence, knowing we have what we need from the will of God to move forward to His glory. And so really there's two questions we need to consider when we think about where we're in our life and our decision. Is it, okay, what are you involved with? And then where is that going to take you? And if everything you're involved with and everything that has input into your life is of this world, guess where you're going to end up? You're going to be conformed. You're going to look like this world. You're going to live like this world. You're going to think like this world. And as a result, you'll have no understanding of the will of God for your life. You won't be living as a true church. Won't be bringing God glory in your life. But if on the flip side, you're consistently involved with those things where God's truth is coming to you, where you are worshiping Him, and that is a consistent practice of your life, that's going to take you right where you need to be. Because God is going to take those times and He's going to speak His truth into your life. Your mind will be transformed. And you're going to live for His glory, walking in confidence, knowing the will of God in your life. So we've got to dig into His truth. We've got to see everything in this world in light of who God is, in light of the truth that He has laid out. And then we'll understand how God wants us to think and then so act in such a way that is good and acceptable and perfect in every decision we face in this life. And so then knowing and doing the good and pleasing and perfect will of God as a church puts us right where we need to be. And so if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, we have got to think biblically. And if we're going to think biblically, we have to stop the conformity. And if we're going to think biblically, we have to be renewed in our minds, leading to our total and absolute transformation. Then we're going to be thinking rightly. And as a result, we'll know the will of God. But all of that really leads up to the last thing. Is that finally and absolutely, we'd walk in it. Every true biblical theology is lived out. Theology, understanding God's Word, it's not an intellectual exercise. Although many times it's made just simply that, that's not what it is. All of it changes us. All of it is meant to be lived out. So we can't say, you know, that we believe that sin is wrong and all these things are reprehensible and then we go out and do them. You know, we can't say that we believe that God is in control of all things and then spend our lives in worry rather than living by faith. We come to understand God's Word. We move away from this world. We're transformed in the renewing of our minds. We understand the will of God. And then by His grace, we walk in it. Then we can act on that truth. And we will glorify God together. And then as a result, we will truly live as His church, those who have been called out for His purpose and His glory. Let's pray.